Pete McMurray in the Skyline Studio, 720 WGN. We have another guest on the line. Our next guest I've known for a very long time. He was our congressman. He was President Obama's chief of staff. He was our former mayor of Chicago. He's got a new book entitled The Nation City, Why Mayors Are Now Running the World. It is Rahm Emanuel. It's good to talk to you again. How are you, sir?
I'm great. Yourself?
First of all, is your family healthy? Amy, your kids?
Well, thank you, Brad. Everybody's, good. The girls are out at the cottage. After 20 years, we don't have TV, we have no computer, no Wi-Fi, no internet.
Oh, yeah.
I got forced to put it in, and so they're doing their online classes. Zach's done with UCLA, and he's enrolled in the armed forces, and then we're here at home. So everybody's healthy, and we're trying to help others. As you know, the family did some stuff for a community health care clinic and then delivered some food to our frontline nurses and doctors at four different regional hospitals in the city.
God bless these healthcare workers on the front lines, man. I mean,
total sacrifice because their own health, then therefore they're risking their family health, and they're all doing it in the name of taking care of somebody else.
Right.
Very, 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 very generous of spirit and soul, not just professional, but person.
Give me your perspective. We just had the major on from the Salvation Army, how they've stepped up their game. I mean, people in my neighborhood, it's people helping people. Chicago's coming together right now, even though we're all getting stir crazy, and it's just a very strange time.
A lot of cabin fever. I do think, this calls out for the best in people, and the good news is from companies to neighborhood groups just to neighbors and everything between, people are stepping up. And doing ordinary people in ordinary ways are doing extraordinary things, and that shows, crises show character, and it reveals the good mainly. There are certain people not, but mainly the good gets revealed in moments like this and calls forth kind of our better angels.
Give me your thoughts on the president attacking our governor on Twitter.
In a crisis, there are three qualities from a leader, and I'm not going to be, this will come off partisan given me, but I'm not trying to be. As an observant, amateur historian of presidencies, you need somebody that is forthright. I don't think that's been the president's capacity. You need somebody that, in my view, can deals with facts, deals with data, and then is able to explain it rather than trying to twist it. And then most importantly is rather than divisive is a univire. And then that last category, whether it's our governor, the governor of Michigan, the governor of New York, or our companies, he is not bringing forth. Let me say this. In the height of the Civil War, 1864, Lincoln used, malice towards none and charity towards all. And that's when we were close to 675,000 fellow Americans killed.
Yeah.
In the height of the Depression, Roosevelt talked about nothing to fear but fear itself. And this president is tweeting, attacking people, or asking, actually bizarrely, every governor, when you really strip it, forget whether it's ventilators, masks, they're asking for his leadership, and they're being attacked. That's the irony, is when you really look at what Governor Pritzker's done, or Governor Whitmer in Michigan, or Governor Cuomo, or Governor Inslee, they've really asked is that the federal government do the federal government's job, and that he would step up in the face, in the name of that, and do their job of providing the resources and the direction needed. And they're attacked for it. So I don't think it's very good leadership. I don't think it's very good helping us come together to solve this problem. And I think it's going to be. I think it's a sad statement. But it's not new.
We're talking with Rahm Emanuel, the $2 trillion coronavirus stimulus package was finally passed on Friday after a little hiccup where Congress had to fly back to Washington. But that being said, Americans are going to start getting checks in a few weeks, but we can't leave our house. How do you get the economy going again while we're self-quarantined at home?
Yeah. So let me take this question in three different directions. One is, I don't think you should call it a stimulus bill. it was a relief package to tie people over to a point.
Okay.
Whether that's 4 weeks, 6 weeks, that's a relief set of dollars. I actually think what Congress and the president need to do right now is an actual stimulus bill. I think the three components of it are, which is, in my view, how do you make sure a crisis doesn't go to waste? One, this is exposed to all the weaknesses of our public health. Make major investments in CDC, NIH, FEMA, et cetera, going forward, because we can never allow another pandemic, which will come, basically create an economic depression. So one, public health, all the human and physical infrastructure have to be inventory set up. Two, states and cities are not going to be able to do infrastructure spending because they can't access the market to get the funds. So the federal government this time should finally pass President Trump's and the Congress's $1 trillion roads, bridges, water systems, schools investment. Three, one of the things we've learned out of this crisis is the importance of online learning, telemedicine, working from home. We should roll out nationally with a national company, a competitor at Huawei from China, 5G in every part of the United States of America.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a stimulus bill that will put millions and millions of people to work, not only building it, but then resourcing it, meaning the steel, the asphalt, the wiring, the copper, all the things that you're going to need to make that happen. And I think that would be a true kind of jumpstart to the economy. Right now, Congress did its job. So what it did was basically relief packages from businesses to states and cities to small businesses to particular industries to individuals. It was to tie them over to point B.
Right.
We need Congress and the president needs to start working on point B to point C. And that's a true jump start to the economy that would actually not just serve as this moment, but would lay down the kind of economic foundation for a real post pandemic growth. And that's to me. Second is, to your core question, there's, you know, a lot of people, you know, previous, you knew were always like one check away from a problem. They didn't have more than about $600 in savings. So you have basics from rent or mortgage to food to medicines to gas, other utilities, etc. And I actually think there's an opportunity to do some of the testing we didn't think of when you think of this check. We should set up a system at every grocery store and pharmacy where people get temperature. So as you go in, you get your temperature taken because people are going to go to the grocery store. They need to go to the grocery store. So one public place you can actually still go. And that temperature basis, if somebody tests, you know, a little fever or a little beyond 98 point, that's when you can identify a person, identify if they have to be quarantined, identify if they need further testing, et cetera. When you look at using that check in the grocery store or the pharmacy, when you look at what Korea did in Germany, that speedy test and a speedy quarantine is what's been incredibly helpful to them to being able to tackle this illness while moving the other parts of society forward.
Well, Abbott Labs just got the okay to that test. They're manufacturing that up north right now. That test that you get immediate reaction, you get immediate results. But when you go to the grocery store, first of all, there's too many people in the grocery store. And I know Whole Foods did this in Lincoln Park where there was a line around the corner. Nobody wants to wait in line to go to the grocery store. But it seems to me that if you're taking people's temperatures at the grocery store, I feel like it's going to spread faster.
No. Well, first of all, you spread them out. Second of all, they're in line. And if you're already taking the temperature, the question is, how do you use the grocery store, which is already where people are going? It's the only, parks aren't open. The lakefront's not open. Movies and restaurants open. People are going there. So the question is, can you use that to do further testing, further isolation and quarantine?
Okay.
You can also mandate the mask giving there, which is proven. There's an article today in the Washington Post how the mask is one, and besides the self-isolation and quarantine and social distancing, the mask is probably the most important protective gear you can have for yourself. And so there's a lot. I mean, you've got to look. People are going to the grocery store. They're going to spend this money because they need basics. Can that experience become part of our healthcare intervention? That's the question.
Yep, that is the question. And you mentioned this. We're talking with Rahm Emanuel for a few more minutes. You mentioned that we need to be forward thinkers. You were the chief of staff for President Obama. You were the mayor of this city. Give me a peek inside what's going on at the White House. Give me a peek inside what's happening at City Hall downtown.
Well, I'm not sure I can give you insight to the White House at this. But here's one of the things I think we should measure by. And if you look at today's banks, the banks actually have money on hand. And the reason is because the president in 2008-09, President Obama, said that your cash cushion last time created a crisis. You're going to have to reserve much more money. The ability for banks to lend today, in good portion, came out of that crisis because we changed, even against their will, their behavior. At that time, they attacked Obama as, oh, we don't need this much. You're overcompensating, over self-correcting. Turned out it was a really good practice. Second, all the telemedicine that's going on, a lot of that infrastructure came out of both the stimulus bill and the President Obama's ACA. The backbone for that was there. So to me, we lost 6-7 weeks early on under the Trump administration of delay and denial. I think that was really crucial. They're playing catch up, but while they're playing catch up, they have to have a subgroup that figures out how do we measure and start thinking about the investments, the things that we have to do that start to turn this. And what I mean by that is the public health model is about separation and segregation. The economic model we have is about integration and interdependence. And the harder you squeeze on the public one, health one, the worse the economic is. And they, rather than those two principles being in conflict, the White House now has to put a joint public health, economic, society team together to come up with an integrated, collaborative, cooperative approach rather than those two principles being in opposition. I do think, and that is also then taking the approach of how to be forward-thinking and around and looking around the corner. And I don't. And right now, they're drinking every day in a White House. You're always, even in the best of times, drinking from a fire hose. They are drinking from multiple fire hoses in the White House. And I got to be honest. I don't. This is 20% discounting for partisanship. I don't think the president has been the type of president we need in this moment, given that his qualities are divisive. His qualities are not to be forthright to deny certain things when all the experts are saying something else. And I really do think the country would actually rally greater than it is today to his side if he would actually be the president that brings the country together, forthright about the challenge we're facing, lays out a plan about the future and how we collectively will work together to get there. And I don't think he's done that, and I think it's been what's worse, it means it has not only led the country, he hasn't led his administration to being responsive. But it is really wrong that the wealthiest country in the world, you have our governor bidding against another state governor for masks, ventilators, beds, and all the equipment. That is not what should be happening at this point.
No, it shouldn't. And it infuriates so many people.
We're better than that.
We are better than that. We should have medical supplies here in Illinois, and New York should have those medical supplies. But I think one of the big problems why we're all anxious right now and we want to get out of our house just to move is there's no end game here. And we're going to have Charlie Beck, the police superintendent, on in just a second. Because people aren't staying in their house. They had to close down the lakefront. What can you say to people to get them to stay at home so we can lessen the curve?
First of all, this is one of those things. I try to stay away. I don't want to talk about local. I didn't say anything about my predecessor. I'm not going to say anything about the successor. But one of the things, you know this, Pete, because you know me since your uncle Layla Hood and I were dear friends in Congress. I'm a workout fiend. One of the most important things you need for your immunology system is you can't be sedate.
Right.
It's not healthy. And so people do need to move. They do need to exercise. The parks are closed. The lakefront is closed. Gyms are closed. There's ways to walk in your neighborhood. There's ways to close down streets, meaning for auto traffic, so you're using more than the sidewalk, so you're creating enough space for social distance and exercise.
Yep.
You can take two-way streets and make them one-way for walking, so there's the social distance, as well as the exercising and giving people turn it into something that's fun, that brings people, I don't mean physically together, but kind of creating a community. I think that's essential. I also think that if you look at the best practices, you know, maybe we should also think about, I talked to our governor about this, that if you're out, you have to have a mask. Maybe we should ask all these other neighborhood groups that are, you know, I read about, like in Little Village, a store is now becoming a sewing shop for masks, et cetera.
Yep.
That there's ways to integrate people, bring them forward into being part of something. I think people are yearning to be part of the solution.
Right. I agree with you.
And that we can do. But just holding people back. Look, the one thing we know in our town, after any winter of hibernation, we like to come out.
We do. We do like to come out.
And that's just in the character after a cold winter. Rainy, snowy, cold, etc. So we have, but we also know people need, they're getting cabin fever. So we can push it back, but how do you then create a way that people can be part of a solution together as a city? And that's, you know, it's a challenge. It's not easy to do. And I fully appreciate that. And, you know, I've been downstairs in my basement, you know, working out.
We all have.
Fred, I put my actual bike on this machine where I'm biking for 2 hours in my home, just out of stir craziness. So everybody's got to figure out something, and then they also want to figure out a way, you know, checking in. I have, I'm not only checking in on my mother, but I'm doing other things in the community. I did stuff, you know, Amy and I as I started with nurses at UIC, at Mount Sinai Hospital, and at UNC.
Rob,
Northwestern. So you're looking for solutions and to be part of a solution.
I agree 100%, and we encourage people to check in. I got to take a break here. We got Charlie Beck coming up next, but we got to have you back.
Great.
We'll talk about your book, The Nation City, and I also wanted to talk about the presidential race, but we just don't have time. I appreciate
Thanks
your time, Rom. Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye-bye.
That is Rom Emanuel. Coming up next, we'll talk to Charlie Beck. It's 720 WGN.